Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Wow, this texture I think is looking for therapist Mark.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I can be that.
So here we go. This question comes in from Kyle, who says, Mark, can you calm my nerves? I'm really worried about the Nuggets and the way they play down the stretch. Are you worried about their chances against the Spurs? Oh, sounds like he needs a little little hug.
Yeah. I am not one. I am not worried. Well, I'm not worried. Concerned. There's a difference between concern and worry. I'm not Horton Hears a Who, like I was in my own career. I'm not like that. I mean, obviously, the Spurs have a great coach. He's going to be a Hall of Fame NBA coach. They've got good players. But I'm not worried because I think the Nuggets are really a damn good team. I don't like the way they finished, but they're a really good team who's 34-7 at home, and they've got home court advantage through at least the first two series and could have home court advantage through the whole thing, depending on what happens to the Warriors if the Warriors were to slip up. No, I'm not worried. I mean, obviously, I wish it would have been playing better rolling into this thing, if that makes sense. Like, I wish they would have finished strong as opposed to 5-6 in their last, 10-ish games. 5-6 and 10-ish, you get that?
It'd be 11, but okay. I know.
I said it yesterday with confidence when I said the Avs were 8-2-1 in their last 10 games. Yeah. And you're like,
point of order. I love the way you use ish. I've always been a fan of ish. From the middle-ish of June.
Yeah.
Middle-ish. I've always been a fan of ish. So I have no
problem
with
ish. When you use ish, it's hard to be wrong. As long as you're in the vicinity.
Good point.
You're always kind of right.
Yep.
Yeah, you got to embrace the power of ish. Hey, I'll be there 11:30-ish. You show up at 2 minutes to 12.
Yep.
You're like, yeah, we're in.
Ish.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're not there at 12:02. Cause then.
Yeah, then you can't.
No, you still gotta go with the 11. I think the rule of thumb is the first number has got to still be 12-ish. Now you say 12-ish. You can show up at 11:50. You're fine. But you can show up at as long as you're there by the bottom of the hour, 12:29. That's 12-ish.
Here's something you need to know. Of all 16 playoff teams, 8 in the East, 8 in the West.
8-8.
The San Antonio Spurs have the second worst road record this year.
Right.
They were 16-25 on the road this year.
Mm-hmm.
Only Detroit at 15-26, the 8th seed in the East, was worse on the road than the Spurs. So,
how important then?
You better grab the first two.
How important is this one? Game one. How important is it?
Mark, if the Nuggets lose one of the first two games at home, I think they lose the series.
So it's that important?
Yeah.
I mean, you pretty much, on a scale of 1 to 10, you put the first game at a 10. If you think they lose this and they lose the series.
Well, think about all the dominoes that fall if you lose one of these first two games at home. You've taken a Spurs team that's been awful on the road, and you gifted them a win that nobody saw coming. And now you allow them now to have home court advantage where they've been 32-9 this year at home.
Mm-hmm.
32-9 at home, 16-25 on the road, the Spurs. Secondly, you lose one of these first two games at home. Now that feeling of invincibility that you created this year, if you're the Nuggets, having the best home record in the NBA, now that's been dented.
Right.
And now what you've done is you've taken a team with no playoff experience,
mm-hmm,
losing at home to a team with playoff experience. Now it opens up that whole Pandora's box of, oh, well, Nuggets just don't have enough experience. Spurs do. And that's going to be the difference in this series. And you see how it all starts to build.
Right.
Got to come out win these first two games.
Do you think? So basically, you're saying that mentally, you think the Nuggets are a little bit soft.
Like no,
if they lose this game.
Oh, I think if they lose one of the first two games at home, then the concern then
falls
the concerns,
into their heads.
Yes, I do. Then I think the concerns about their readiness to play playoff basketball becomes an issue. Win the first two? No. Then I think they roll.
I'm going to give them a little bit more credit for their mental toughness. I mean, not playing well the last game of the season and finding a way to go on a 15-0 run in the fourth quarter to win that game by, 4 points or something like that against the Timberwolves? Not to be confused with the Timberwolves.
You are such a...
Just take it easy.
Calmer than you are.
Damn, nobody else picked up on that?
Okay. Oh man, we haven't experienced. See, this is one of the. I'm gonna flat out call it a benefit. It's not even a detriment. This is the benefit of late night playoff hockey because you stayed up late and now you're punchy. And I love Punchy Mark.
Yeah,
Punchy Mark is the best.
All right,
so I'm loving the fact that we have some late night playoff games coming because this is just going to lead to more punchiness, which just makes me smile.
Yeah, just up. Anytime I'm up late, I lack a little bit of sleep. Yeah, it's never a good thing for me.
Is it just me or has anybody noticed how DJ LeMahieu has been playing for the Yankees?
Yeah, I mentioned it yesterday.
Rocky should have signed him with some of that Nolan Arenado money.
Hindsight being 2020, what they paid him?
2 years, $24
million. In baseball parlance is nothing.
No. That was one of those things that when the season ended and I knew DJ was going to be a free agent, I was like, all right, it's probably time to move on, you know.
Right.
Probably going to be too rich for their blood and they got some young prospects. And then I saw the deal he signed and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. 2 years? $24 million?
Right.
It was the 2 years that really jumped out at me. 2 years? You couldn't match beat that? But see, you know, when you sell yourself on the idea that you are a draft and development team, you tend to believe in and overrate your own prospects. Now, I'm going to give the Rockies the benefit of the doubt here. Now, they have been really good at producing some of their own prospects of late, but do you start to get a little bit too cocky about your ability to just simply plug and play? All right. There goes that veteran that's produced, that has a resume. Here comes the next big thing. See you later, DJ. See you later, Cargo. See you later, Para. You know, here comes Ryan McMahon and Garrett Hampson.
Right. I think you always have to be concerned, Mike, and you've got to have a great feel. As an organization, you have to have a great feel for the guys who... The guys who hold the locker room together, the guys who have an ability to bring people together, you know, like as an organization, I've always thought that that's one of the most important things you can have, kind of your finger on the pulse of what makes your locker room tick. And I think DJ LeMahieu is a guy that was a no-nonsense kind of a guy that held guys accountable with not only actions but words within the clubhouse. And he may not have been the most vocal guy to the media or to other, you know, other outlets, but I think he was really that important cog inside their clubhouse. And those are guys that you got to find a way to keep regardless of, hey, we got a kid down in, you know, the minors that we drafted very high in the first round in Rodgers, and, you know, eventually we need to see him play. Like, I keep thinking to myself, I see all these young guys. I saw Atlanta with, what's the kid's name, the outfielder, Acuna. Like, they signed him to $100 million. I see all these young kids that are up and are playing and are like, they've anointed those guys. Like, well, why has he not gotten there? You know, we keep making it about LeMahieu and other veterans. Come on now. Like, why?
Got a bonus question mark.
Okay.
That comes in from Colin, who asks, Mark, we're 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Do you have any idea what the Broncos are going to do at 10?
No.
It's a great question. Because if you think about it, 2 weeks from today, we will know what the Broncos have done in the first round. And if you go by the different mock drafts and speculation by all the so-called NFL, I mean, think about all the different names that have been associated and linked to the Broncos at 10. From Drew Locke to Hockenson, the tight end, to Andre Dillard, the tackle from Washington State, Rashawn Gary, Joel Klatt had him going to the Broncos at 10.
We had linebacker early and Devon White.
Devin White early. We even had corners early on in the process, like DeAndre Baker. Now that we're getting closer and closer, do you have any? Maybe that's a credit to the preparation that Elway and his staff is putting together, that nobody seems to have a real concrete idea
right
on what the Broncos are going to do.
You know what? Here's what I think, and I think it's great. Last year, you and I did our mock draft, right? We did our mock. We do this every year, and it's fun for us. You know, it's kind of goofy, but we both said going into that, hey man, if Bradley Chubb was available, you'd take him at 5, but we took him off our board for our mock draft because we didn't think there was any way that he'd be available. And of course he became available, which, you know, the Broncos did a great job there. But I think the fact that nobody seems to know, you look at 8 mock drafts, there are 8 different guys that they have the Broncos taking. I think that's, says a lot about what the Broncos are doing, what John Elway and his staff are doing over there, as far as keeping all options open and making sure that nobody really knows the direction you're leaning toward. Because I think that makes that number 10 pick a very coveted, potentially tradable, where somebody rises up to come get it. Very valuable commodity. So I think the Broncos are doing a great job, Mike.
All right, let's try to zero in on what you think they may do. Do you think they keep the pick, or do you think they trade back?
I think that they'll trade back.
Okay. Do they pick defense, or could you see them going with an offensive player?
I could definitely see them going offensive.
Really?
Yeah.
At what position?
I could see them.
There's only one position. Unless you think they're going to take a quarterback at number 10.
No.
Think offensive lineman.
I think O-line or tight end, depending on where they can get those guys.
See.
O-line 1, tight end 2.
See, I don't see O-line because I think they truly believe Mike Munchak can work miracles with what they've got. And that they don't need to spend a high pick on an offensive lineman because they've got Munchak to cure all the ails.
Right. So you're basically saying that they're looking at Mike Munchak as like Miracle Max from The Princess Bride.
Yes.
Right.
Have fun storming the castle.
Right. No, what he clearly said was to blave, which is to bluff. Mike Munchak is great. He is not Miracle Max. He is not going to make a big giant chocolate suppository and the next thing you know, you're going to be able to play. Doesn't work that way.
What?
The big pill?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It was they put chocolate on so you could swallow the big pill. Never mind. Retract what I said earlier. I still have my doctor visit on my mind.
It's so awkward.
Anyway.
Suddenly I have disturbing insight into Mark Schlereth. Oh, God, I hope your wife is listening right now.
Checking the phone.
I think it's going to be, I think it'll be, I think they're going to go defense.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's the quickest way to be able to maximize what you're trying to do this year is to take the best side of your team and make it stronger. I think it's the 2015 model. They're trying to recapture that model. And what was that model? It was two dominant pass rushers. It was a very good secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an underrated defensive line. And I think that right now they could use an upgrade in their front seven. So I'm thinking front seven on defense.
Whether that's
a 10 or trade
so
back.
Here's what I think, that if they stay at 10, they'll go defense.
Okay.
Because I think when you start to look at quarterbacks getting driven up, Mike, you will find one of those second tier players are defensive players. So I don't know if it was Todd McShay or somebody broke down top, you know, tier one players, tier two players, tier three players. And I think the tier one players were the two defensive players, Quinnen Williams of Alabama and Nick Bosa of Ohio State. And then there were a bunch of other defensive guys in the tier two range, the tier two category. And then, you know, in the tier three, and that was like seven players. So there's nine total players in those tiers. And then the tier three, that's where some of the offensive players started filtering. So quarterbacks will get driven up. They were all tier three, tier four players. Quarterbacks will get driven up, meaning you're going to get one of those tier two players that will drop to you at 10. If you stay at 10, I would imagine you'll go defensive player because they're the best players available on the board. But if you trade back, then I think it opens you up to taking offensive players who are more tier three guys. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's kind of how I see the draft. But again, tip of the cap to Elway and the Broncos, because honestly, I don't know that anybody has a clue. Like, you look at all these draft nicks and all these draft gurus, you look at any draft board across whatever network it is, whether it's Charlie Casserly or whether it's Joel Klatt or whether it's Todd McShay or Mel Kiper, and it goes on and on and on, Bucky Brooks, whoever, they're all different. Nobody's dialed in on what the Broncos may or may not do.
We roll on this. Is it just me? Friday, is it just me? Says this texter. Or was Nathan McKinnon struggling last night? Well, he didn't score a goal. And seemed to have trouble finding some open ice. And maybe McKinnon kind of falls under that category of, instead of trying to make the dynamic electric play, just throw the puck on net. Throw the puck on net. Okay. Let's not try to be too fancy. Throw the puck on net. And, you know, here's the thing about, and this is what I love about the playoffs, is that, you know, people around here want to call Nathan McKinnon a superstar. He's not a superstar. You're not a superstar until you've done it in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, you know, it was a good series. But we have the benefit of knowing what true greatness looks like around here in hockey.
Sure,
we saw it. Okay,
yeah.
We know what superstars look like. Joe Sakic, superstar. Peter Forsberg, superstar. We know what superstars look like. Nathan McKinnon is a star right now, but you're ultimately defined by what you do in the playoffs. And, you know, when your team gets shut out 4-0, you know, who's the first guy you're going to look to? Him. What do you do? What do you not do? And the pressure is on him to do more. That's just the way Nikola Jokic, as we get ready for the series to start with the Spurs. Hey, everything he's done this year, he's gone that next level. He's now an all-star. He's now a star. Superstar? Not yet. Not until you prove it in the playoffs. Nolan Arenado. You know, Nolan last year in June is saying, well, you know, I,
I don't know right. if I want to stay here yeah. long term if we're not going to be competitive. I want to play in meaningful games. Then he plays in meaningful games and he spits the bit. So
do you think that is because you're trying, like you said, I mean, you're trying to go electric slide on him, you know, you're trying to make something, you're trying to make it look special. Like, I think sometimes when you get to playoff, whether it's basketball, hockey, football, baseball, it's about doing the ugly stuff. Like, the great scorers in my mind, even when they're not shooting well, even when things aren't going well, like the great scorers in basketball, even when things aren't going their way and shots aren't falling, you know what? At the end of the game, you look at the box score and they still have 32 points. And you're like, how? Well, they got the line 18 times, you know?
Well, all right, look at the undisputed GOAT in basketball. Look at Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go back and watch a lot of his playoff games against the Celtics and against the Pistons and against the Knicks, you know? I mean, go back and look at his playoff games. You think they were all high-flying dunks?
Mm-hmm.
No, there was a lot of just hard, you know, hard drives to the hoop, getting knocked down, knocking down free throws, you know, pull-up jumpers with somebody in his face. You're right. You're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, you got to be able to do and win and perform ugly.
Right.
Gritty. Dirty.
Yeah, it's not going to be like in the case of Nathan MacKinnon. It's not going to be open eyes. It's the playoffs. You know, you did get the one breakaway and you got robbed because that was a great shot. That was a great shot on goal, but you got to put more shots on goal. You got to put more shots on net. Good things are going to happen. Come on. That shot that Tkachuk knocked in.
No, it's Tkachuk.
Tkachuk knocked in.
You just want to pronounce that T, don't you?
The shot that Tkachuk knocked in. That thing wasn't even close to being on goal. It was about 3 foot wide of the net. He stuck his stick out there and deflected it in. Good for Tkachuk. Tkachuk.
Another one here on the text
line.
I
feel like when I see that, Tkachuk, I feel like that Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, Shaka Khan, everybody, Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan, that's all I want to do. Shaka Khan. It's like Tkachuk, Tkachuk, I can't even do it. That's all I want to do. Tkachuk, 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 Tkachuk. You know, it sounds like the same thing to me.
Identical. We are in full show pony, punchy mark. 37 minutes to go, and I have no idea where it's going to go. So why don't we all get on the ride together, folks, and see where this thing finishes next.
With a draft on the horizon, can the Broncos learn from past mistakes?
They've missed so many times. There's so many misses that it has caught up with the Broncos, and that's why we've seen what we've seen the last couple years. You can't miss.
It's pressure time for John Elway and company coming off two losing seasons. This year's draft is as important as ever. There's never an off season for Talking Broncos. Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hey guys, what would you say if I told you about a real estate agent that's going to sell your house at your price and your time? And if he doesn't, he's going to pay you $5,000. It's crazy, but Troy Hansford will actually make that deal. All you have to do is pick up the phone and make the call. 720-944-33 is the number. Selling your house, getting top dollar, man, it can be a frustrating process. I get it. It can take months. Most agents stick a sign on the ground. You know, hold an open house, throw some store-bought cookies at the guests. Come on, you deserve better than store-bought cookies, for crying out loud. You deserve an agent that's going to put his money where his mouth is, and that's exactly what Troy Hansford does. He spends tens of thousands every single month generating demand. He is not your average realtor. He gets his clients the most money in the shortest time. The only agent I've ever heard of to guarantee to sell your house at your price. If he doesn't, he pays you $5,000. Well, Cecil Lamy took him up on the offer. Listed and sold Cecil Lammy's house over the course of one weekend, got him $25,000 above asking price. Come on, guys. Nobody comes close. He's not going to lock you up into a long-term deal either. So you got a house to sell? There's one call to make. That's the Troy Hansford, the Hansford team of RE/MAX Unlimited. Here's that number again, 720-900-4433. That's 720-900-4433.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Then call a couple of friends and head west to Blackhawk, where you come for the casinos and stay for the
buffet. Oh, the buffet. Or grab some surf and turf. So delicious.
Pardon me. Yes. Come for the casinos and stay for the
mountain biking, hiking, spas, dancing.
Thank you. Come on up to Blackhawk, where you'll find more than a dozen comfortable modern casinos, over 7,000 of the latest slots, 200 live tables, 1,000 hotel rooms, 30 restaurants, pretty much everything. Blackhawk, Colorado. Come for the casinos and then
make it what you want. Plan your getaway at visitblackhawk.org.
You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make it feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales events.
Lowe's knows you do it right by looking for deals on new appliances because you work too hard for your money not to. We do it right, too, by saving you $400 on a Whirlpool fingerprint-resistant French door refrigerator, now for just $1,799. Shop deals on more appliances and get up to 35% off select appliance special values like washers, dryers, ranges, and more. When it's time for new appliances, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through April 24th. See store for details, U.S. only.
You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make it feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales events.
Most of us carry a balance on our credit cards. And if you're anything like me, you probably don't think much of it. Well, maybe we should. Reports show that U.S. households pay an average of $1,200 a year in credit card interest. That's an incredible figure. Thankfully, your untapped home equity is an easy way out of high interest debt. And loan limits are at an all-time high. So you can use that equity to pay off debt, remodel your home, or build your savings account. Just call the salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing. You can call them at 303-695-7000. That's 303-695-7000. They'll guide you through the mortgage refinance process and never charge any upfront fees, unlike other lenders who charge $500 just to qualify. Start now and learn how you can save up to $12,000 a year. You may be able to postpone up to 2 months of mortgage payments as well. Call 303-695-7000 or apply online right now at AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS number 182334. Call 303-695-7000 or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
Homeowners, permanently fix your pipe leaks or low water pressure by repiping your home today. Repipe Specialist repipes an entire home in just 1 to 2 days, patches your walls, and provides a lifetime guarantee. With over 25 years in business and 40,000 repipes completed, they stand behind their work. For a limited time, get 20% off and 0% interest. Repipe Specialist, the no-hassle, value-priced, all-inclusive repipe. Call today for your free in-home estimate at 720-650-8394. 720-650-8394.
Did you see that game last night?
Ooh, instant classic.
I can't believe how much Burton was sweating in the ninth. You could see each bead dripping off his brow.
I didn't see him sweating.
My girlfriend was blown away by his clear skin. She kept going on and on about what his daily regime is. It was pretty impressive. I'm sure you noticed that.
Yeah, I didn't notice his smooth skin.
Either you don't have a girlfriend or you don't have DirecTV.
I don't have either, actually.
Wow. Really?
Live sports that aren't in 4K are just kinda TV. Only DirecTV has the most live sports in 4K. Don't just kinda TV, DirecTV. Switch from Dish and get a $100 reward card. Limited 4K program available. Requires entertainment package or higher. Compatible equipment. Reward card with 24-month agreement. Maintain service and redeem within 75 days. Card within 4 weeks. And 6/30/2019. Select markets only. Requires 2-room setup. Minimum $47 per month for 12 months after discount. Prices higher in 2nd year. New residential customers only. Equipment lease activation, installation, early termination. Equipment non-return and other charges and restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Zach. You can listen to Stoke and I on Alexa. Enable the skill today.
Denver Sports Snapshot.
The Avalanche fell to the Flames last night in Calgary. Game 2 of the series is tomorrow. The DU Pioneers hockey season is officially over after they lost to UMass in the Frozen Four. Rockies are at Oracle Park to take on the Giants. First pitch, 8:15. Chad Bettis on the mound for Colorado. Game 1 between the Nuggets and Spurs gets rolling tomorrow night in Pepsi Center.
Snapshot presented by Schomp BMW. One price, one person, 1 hour.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Yeah, see?
You know what?
This might work.
You are onto something here now.
As I told you. I mean, come on now. Are you kidding me?
Tuck a chuck.
Tuck a chuck.
Tuck a chuck.
Tuck a chuck.
Tuck a chuck. I want to stay with you. Tuck a chuck.
Identical.
Identical.
Identical. If the Calgary Flames were smart, they'd create a little Tuck-a-Chuck theme song like that. They'd call me. Tuck-a-Chuck. 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 Tuck-a-Chuck.
Is it just me? Is it just me Friday? Got some more good ones rolling in. Is it just me or it's crazy for the Broncos to try to copy the 2015 model? That model had a ton of luck. It is silly to try and repeat it. Well, what? All right, let's play that game for a second. Let's play the game that the 2015 Super Bowl winning Broncos were lucky.
All right.
Okay. I don't like do that.
I'm already a little irritated.
I know.
In a great mood after my Tuck a Chuck song.
I know. But let's just play that game for a second. Let's just say they were lucky.
Okay.
So. Is it really that bad of an idea to try to copy something that was? What is your alternative? Are you telling me that they're on the cusp of building some sort of juggernaut team that's prepared to go out and just bludgeon teams on both sides of the football? Of course they're not. So why not? Maybe it is a reach. Maybe you are trying to get lightning in a bottle again, but why not?
Okay, I don't understand. First off. Define that for me. How were they lucky? How was it luck? I'd like to know that. As my dad, and this is good. This is from Herb Schlereth to you, Texter. Luck has a smell of perspiration. Okay. How were they lucky?
Poolside, boom.
Poolside. Lock it down.
I think the idea is that you were able to win a Super Bowl with as poor. I mean, at one point, Peyton Manning was benched with 9 touchdowns and 17 picks.
I get it.
You know, the idea that you're going to be able to survive that.
Well, you're not going to be able to survive that. Okay, that you can't survive that. But the point of trying to rebuild that 2015 model is to have an absolutely suffocating, dominant defense that can score every time they're on the field and it's going to create turnovers. That's not luck. That part wasn't luck. That part is putting so much pressure on the opponent and being so good on that side of the ball that you'll fall into those interceptions or strip sack fumbles and all that stuff. That's not luck. That is you're so good and you've got so many multiple weapons on that side of the ball that you force teams into turnovers. They're not giveaways, they're takeaways. You force those things. So you can overcome an offense that may be not quite ready for prime time. Now, you're not going to, because Joe Flacco is not Peyton Manning in that, hey, I'll get you into the perfect play every single time, even though I can't execute because I've got the neck thing going on right now and, you know, my arm's a wet noodle. But I can get you in and I have the gravitas and I create the confidence to be able to get us through this stuff. But there's nothing lucky about what they did on a defensive standpoint. That was one of the top defenses we've seen in the last two decades, since the 2000 Ravens.
Well, and that was going to be my point. To say that they were lucky is really unfair. To say that how they won is not sustainable, and it kind of falls into the one-year model,
the
one-year shelf life, I'm okay with that. But if you want to say that what the Broncos did in 2015, that they were lucky, okay, then you're telling me what the Ravens did in the early 2000s was lucky. What Tampa Bay did was lucky.
What Seattle did in 2013.
that that's lucky. Okay? No. That's a disservice to those teams, what they're able to do for that year. Now, there is a shelf life, a short shelf life to what you're going to be able to do and how long you're going to be able to sustain it. That I'll give you. But to say that's lucky, no, I can't do that. That's very disrespectful.
Yeah, it's just not appropriate at all. They created opportunities and short fields, and they scored on defense. And, you know, even in the Super Bowl, they scored on the defensive side of the ball. Strip sack fumble, and I think Malik Jackson's the one they recovered in the end zone, am I correct, for the touchdown on the Von Miller strip sack fumble? Come on now. That's not luck. That's it's having dominant players.
Is it me or is Kachuk?
It's Kachuk.
Our new player to hate, Jason in Aurora. Oh, yeah. I mean, just right from the beginning of the game where he got into that little scrum with Eric Johnson and he baited Eric Johnson into a penalty. You know, what even the guys back in, even Rycroft and John Michael Lyles were like, look, you can have an exchange in that moment. You know, I can basically cross-check you in the chest and you could cross-check me in the chest, but the moment you go up by the lips, you're going to get called for it. Yeah. So, you know, you can't get baited into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, don't go to the lips.
Don't go to the lips.
Remember the song by Lips Inc.? You remember that song?
Yeah, sure. No, but go ahead. Remind us all.
Lips Inc.? Funky Town. Got to make a move to a town that's right for me. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Can't go to the lips. It's can't a hockey lips. Thing.
Don't go to the lips.
You can cross check in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to the lips.
No, that's, hey, you want to put your to-do list, lips the keys to game too?
Don't go to the lips.
Don't go to the lips.
Should be up there. It should be a list of, there should be like goaltending.
Yeah.
Right? No, wait, one, execute on the power play or execute special teams.
Special teams. Yep.
Two. You gotta be magic between the pipes.
Yep.
These are my three keys to the game.
Yep.
Okay, so no, one.
Special teams.
Two. Magic between the pipes.
I'm gonna actually give you a third one before you get to.
Okay.
Third is, there is no such thing as a bad shot on goal.
Okay.
Throw more pucks at the net.
Pucks at the net. So,
and four.
And don't go to the lips.
Don't go to the lips.
Boom. Should be up in the locker room.
Tap
it on the top of the ceiling as you walk out. Those are your four keys. Like, you know, at Notre Dame, they go down and they got the little sign above the thing. They tap on the sign. We used to do that too. You know, you tap on the sign, play like a Bronco today or something like that, right? Boom. Like, play like a champion today. Bam, you tap it. Don't go to the lips. Boom. Hit on the way out. There.
Is it just me or is the fan becoming the blast from the past radio station? All anyone seems to talk about is former great Colorado players, Manning, Waugh, Sakic, Elway. Sometimes it's okay to let things go. Sometimes, listener, 8 a.m. listener, you need to sit back and remember that since 2001, Denver, Colorado professional sports teams have won one championship. One. Okay. The Nuggets and Avalanche, the Avalanche have been shockingly irrelevant since the early 2000s. The Nuggets haven't been relevant in a decade. The Rockies have had a couple of blips here in the last 20 years. Okay? So, I'll tell you what. When we start hosting multiple parades around here, and we have deep playoff runs from teams not named the Broncos, I'll stop bringing up Sakic and Waugh and Elway and Manning. Until then.
I agree.
Until then, I'm going to keep mentioning them. You know why? Because they're the standard.
Right.
They're the standard.
Exactly. Sakic, Waugh, Forsberg, Foote, Elway, Schlereth, you know.
See how he slipped that one in there, folks? That's why he's the best, everybody. That's why he is the best. All right, much more with Is It Just Me Friday as we roll on with Hot Sports Opinions on what is fast becoming an out-of-control Friday show. That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Having a lot of fun here on this Is It Just Me Friday?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I am going to be presenting an award to you and the rest of the Avalanche, fans, right after the show. So,
really?
Yeah, but we'll probably.
Am I involved in this?
Yeah, I'm going to. Well, I'm presenting it to you on behalf of all the Avalanche, fans.
We will post this video on all of the fan social media accounts, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
Yeah. So, right after the show, it's going to be a special moment for you.
Rich Texan, is it just me or saying that the Broncos were lucky to win the Super Bowl is like saying Evans thinks last night the Avs game was close. It was close. Oh, my God.
Oh, gosh.
See, now you're putting me in a position that I hate to be in, but I'm going to do it.
Okay, go ahead. Okay. Spit some stats in
here comes.
Ass.
No. Here comes.
I'll spit my stat first. Four nothing.
Here comes serious.
You go now.
Arrogant. You clearly don't know hockey guy.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be that guy now.
Okay. Great.
All right.
This is exciting.
Okay. The Avalanche, if you watch the game.
Uh-huh.
You know that the Avalanche carried the play territorially through the first period and a half of the game.
Yes.
It was not until they had a where did that come from breakdown defensively that allowed a fourth line winger to basically walk across the entire zone and crease of Philip Grubauer to score that first goal. After that, I'm 100% with you. The Avs got outplayed, okay? But for the first half of this hockey game, they were the better hockey team. They had completely taken the crowd out of the game. They lost this game because they had three power play chances, and they whiffed on all three of them.
And that's
inexcusable. We had Barry Melrose come on yesterday and say the number one key to winning the playoffs is special teams. And at the end of the day, you had those three power play chances to jump out and get the lead and establish momentum, and you whiffed. And that ended up costing them the hockey game. But for the first half of the game, they were the better team.
So let me ask you, how many goals do you get awarded for winning the territory game?
No, you don't.
Oh, you don't.
But to argue that this was, in your words, a debacle, or in Rich's words,
it is a
to say that it wasn't even close. You didn't watch the game.
It's a debacle.
You didn't watch the game. Mike, there you go. It's
a debacle.
Hockey fan,
when you control the territory, as you said, and you outskate them, and you can't put the biscuit in the basket.
No, that's on the Avs.
Yeah.
I'm not laying them off the hook for that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I mean, I look at 4-0 as somewhat of a debacle. And like you said, you let a fourth line winger skate across, tiptoe across your crease without actually touching him, like he was invisible, like he had Harry Potter's cloak of invisibility on him, right? He did an expecto patronus, whatever, spell.
Expecto patronus. You can't see me. I play for the Calgary Flames.
Oh, you'll love this one. Evans, when talking about championships won in Denver since 2001, you forgot about the Rapids.
Good one.
Hold on, let me respond.
Boring.
Let me respond to that person. Hold on a second.
Good one. There you go. Rapids.
There you go. No, I did not.
Right.
Come on. Playing well, scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah, that's exciting.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not. When it comes to the four professional sports in town.
Right.
There's four. Okay? And look, I mean, good for, I've done Denver Outlaws lacrosse here.
Right.
In Denver for over a decade.
Henceforth, the name Denver Outlaws Lacrosse.
Right.
In Denver.
In Denver.
Right.
They've won championships. I'm not including them in this group either.
You know what would be really interesting? If you did Denver Outlaw Lacrosse, like in Kansas City. Or like in Oklahoma. Because then that would be weird. Home games in Oklahoma? The travel expense? Really be hard to get behind that team. Welcome to the Denver Outlaws in Oklahoma.
Okay, now I'm getting mad. They lost 4-0, you jackass. Even if they capitalize on all three of those power plays, it's still 4-3. Oh, my.
Mm.
So you're telling me, let me just see if I can understand the logic here.
Okay.
So you're telling me that if the Avalanche convert on all three of those power play chances.
Right, they have four power play chances, by the way. But
those, three of those first three.
Right.
With, in the first period and a half, first period and first 2 minutes of the second period. You're telling me if they capitalize on all three and grab a 3-0 lead, they're going to still lose this game 4-3? Seriously.
Right.
Seriously. That's, oh boy. Well,
okay. So
if they would have capitalized.
See, this is what happens when I guess we don't have enough playoff hockey around here for almost two decades. People,
did you just say
two decades?
Oh. Yeah.
What do you think I said? Never mind.
That's like, hey, if we capitalize on our first three power plays, that's three goals. And then if we shut them out on the two of the five power plays that they scored on, now they only have two goals. And if we eliminate the empty netter, we win.
Right.
I mean, that's, come on. Like, bottom line is like, I look at things differently. You know, debacle, you can call it, you know, you call whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's 4-0 loss.
No,
playoff hockey.
Hey,
and I get, like, I don't like the fact that it's like I told you the kind of heated exchange that Vance Joseph and I had when he was the head coach here when I said, you got your ass kicked. Like, and he's like arguing me, like, okay, semantics. You don't call it an ass kicking. Like, I've had my ass kicked. I know what it feels like, and I watched that game cover to cover against the Jets, and anytime you give up close to 300 yards rushing, I'm sorry. I mean, I know that I was in Cincinnati when we allowed clock-killing Corey Dillon to set the NFL rushing record on us. And you know what Mike Shanahan called that? We got our asses kicked. Like, I mean, it was real. And by the way, Mike, that was 2000 season. That was a playoff year for us.
That's right.
Under Gus Frerotte, I think we went 11-5.
You're not comparing the Avalanche performance last night to the Broncos performance against the Jets, are you?
I'm saying when you get thunder punched, 4-0
It was 3-0. It was an empty net goal at the end, which was
okay. That was
garbage time. Okay,
certificate of participation.
That was garbage time.
3-0 is still nothing for you. You still got shut out.
Yeah, but when you carry the play for the first half of the game on the road in a playoff game and you end up losing, I'm not going to call it a debacle. I'm going to call it a missed opportunity. That's what it was.
Hmm.
Now, it only becomes a debacle if you don't learn from it and you don't respond to it and you come out and you get beat again in game two. And then you can start pointing to the roots of why you're down 2-0 and you can magnify maybe game one a little bit more. But I'm sorry. It's just I guess I've just watched too many playoff series over my life as both a hockey and a basketball fan to get freaked out over just one game, one loss on the road. When the goal is to come away with a split. Okay, let me ask you this. Were you coming into this series expecting them to win both games on the road?
No, I wasn't.
You were expecting what? You were hoping for what? What was the game plan?
I was hoping that they would have took the experience from last year's playoffs against the Predators where they came out in game one and totally got out hit. Predators completely out hit them and then responded in game two by actually out-hitting the Predators. Because that, to me, is that's playoff hockey. Like, it's like what I talk about with the NFL all the time. You control line of scrimmage.
But you know they lost both games in Nashville to start that series last year.
Correct.
Okay.
But they came back to, they came back here and won.
Mm-hmm.
They came back to Colorado and won. But there was a completely different, they set a different tone. I wanted them to set a different tone. You know, and once they started out hitting the Predators last year, then you saw them, when they started doing that, then you saw the ice open up some, and then you saw their skill as skaters, because they're better to me than the Predators is just far, as just flat out your ability to skate, your athleticism on the ice. And I think that's, I think it's almost kind of counterintuitive, you know? Like to hit the golf ball farther, you got to swing less hard type of thing, you know? It's counterintuitive. You put less effort into it and you'll actually hit the ball sweeter, purer, and it'll go further. Same thing in hockey is to get open ice and to be able to use your athleticism, you got to play dirty. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you a certificate of participation. It's going to be great. You're going to love it.
Okay. All right.
You are going to love it. You and the rest of your moral victory.
So our buddy Joel Klatt came up with a mock draft that has the Broncos taking a guy that I have not yet once heard linked to the Broncos at number 10 until this mock draft. Pritch and Cecil will respond to that coming up next.